100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness," I love this, "continues through all generations." Friend, what a truth of a scripture right there. Psalm 100 verse 5. If you've been following Memorization Mondays with Mark Burns, you know that is the verse this week for us to be memorizing. He's actually going through the book. I'm so so grateful. It's been a fantastic, 10, almost 11 months of going through the book of 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And this week, Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Friend, happy Thursday to you. So good to see you. I hope you're having a wonderful week, a blessed week. I've just been so blessed the last couple of weeks as the pastor of my church, Galilee Baptist Church in Decatur. It's been Pastor Appreciation Month. It still is in October. And so so blessed by just the encouragement and just the notes. And so it really touches my heart. And friend, I just say that to remind you, honor your pastor. Just let him know, thank you for all your hard work. Here's, let me take you out to lunch. Here's a gift card. Here's whatever it is. Let them know. Let them know how much you really appreciate them and their wife and their family. And just, October, Pastor Appreciation Month. Well, today is, of course, the 24th day of October, and it begins a new round of the English Conversation classes taking place at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square, Urbana. We have experienced teachers for all levels. It's free, going on from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, again, at the Great News Radio Center, Lincoln Square in Urbana, starting a brand new round of the English Conversation classes today, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. If you want more details about that, just visit our website at greatnewsradio.org. And today for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to be talking about when God cleans house. When God cleans house. We're going to take a look at him clearing out the temple. Remember that occasion from the book of Matthew and what that means for you and me. Today, we're going to talk about when God cleans house right after this on Mark and Friends right here on this Thursday.
Thank you, Lord. ever known. Above all wealth and the treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you were. Crucified, laid behind a stone.
Friend, you are listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. There's a man who visited his 90-year-old grandfather, and they're eating breakfast, and this young man noticed there was like a clear film on his dish. He says, "Grandpa, are these plates clean?" His grandfather replied, "Those plates are as clean as cold water can get them, so go on and finish your meal." And so later on that afternoon, they're having lunch, and he noticed that there are many black specks around the edge of the plate. Again, he asked, "Grandpa, are you sure these plates are clean?" His grandpa said, I told you, son, that those plates are as clean as cold water can get them, son. Now, don't ask me again." And so later that day, as he was getting ready to go home, his grandfather's dog, who was lying on the floor, started to growl and would not let him pass. And his grandfather shouted from the other room, "Cold water, get out of the way." Fred, you know, I know doing household chores, cleaning the house, isn't probably on top of the list of things we love to do. You know, as a child of God, the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that God lives in us. Now, friend, I've heard it said that God will not live in a dirty house. He won't move out, but friend, He will clean house. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, when God cleans house. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 21, when God cleans house. And so Matthew chapter 21, we're going to start in verse 12, Matthew 21 verse 12, "As Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna, the son of David,' they were indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" Friend, the Old Testament temple is a blueprint of his New Testament temple, which is you. In the Old Testament, God has a temple for his people. In the New Testament, he has a people for his temple. Did you get that? You and I are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" Right? In Ephesians 1:13, it says that in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So our bodies are the temple of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so in these verses here in Matthew, we see the defilement of the temple. In verse 12, it says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who sold and bought in the temple." See, in the temple, you had a Jewish coin. Now, you couldn't use a Roman coin, so you would have to go to a money changer, and the money changer would say something like, "Okay, you need a dollar. All right, it will cost you $1.50 in Roman coin, and I'll exchange that for you." And that person would go in, drop it off in the temple, and what would happen would be the money changer people, the person there, the money changer person, would go in and go and get that coin that was just delivered in the temple, take it, and resell it for a profit. I mean, it was a good deal for them. And they also, they had doves and other things that God had commanded to be used in worship. And so these people were misusing and abusing the temple of God. They were crooks. And if you go deep enough in your studying of God's word in this, the religious leaders, many would say the religious leaders in the temple were in on it as well. It was a crooked business. So they had defiled, they had profaned, they dirtied up the temple. Friend, what ways do you dirty up, defile, and profane your temple, your body, your life? I believe there are back doors into our temple, our ears. Friend, what do you listen to? You know, the type of music you listen to has a way of influencing us. Did you know that? Molding us, shaping our belief system, our eyes, the movies you watch, the YouTube videos you enjoy, they have a way of planting seeds into our minds and our hearts. The books you read, the websites you visit can defile your temple. There's other instruments that defile our temple. Our mouth. You know, our mouth has a way of getting us in trouble. Oh my! I got stories upon stories how I've said just the wrong thing at the wrong time. Our mouth has a way of defiling us or reveal what's really in our heart. The words you use, the jokes you tell. What about your feet? Do you go where no Christian has no reason being? Do you go where no Christian ought to go? I was reading some college students had for their team a mascot, a goat. And they didn't have anywhere to keep the goat. And so some of the college boys says, "Well, hey, he can stay in our room in the dorm." And somebody said, "Well, what about the smell?" And they said, "Well, the goat can get used to that." I'll tell you what, friend, college boys may live in a dirty house, but God will not live in a dirty house. And so we see the defilement of the temple, but friend, we see the cleaning of the temple as well. Back to our passage in Matthew here, last half of verse 12, it says, "And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons." I mean, friend, he flipped over tables. He took a whip and drove them out. John chapter 2 talks about a time when he also cleaned the temple. In another occasion, he took a whip out and drove them out. Friend, when you have sin in your life, when you have defiled your temple, God, listen, this is a hard thing here. God will discipline you. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Did you catch that? God doesn't discipline unbelievers, but he disciplines his children. God will use testing. He'll use trials and various predicaments to bring us back to himself in repentance. But another way he cleanses, cleans the temple is with disruption. I mean, think about this. He came in had a whip of cords and drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. I mean, think of, he's letting doves out of the cages. He's taking the money out of the money changer and throwing it on the floor. He's finding these tables and turns that one over and that one over. He turns this table over and that table. He turns over that. I mean, this is the temple, and here is the Lord Jesus in the temple disrupting everything. You know what Jesus will do to your plans? He'll overturn your tables. He loves you too much, dear friend, to let you succeed in your sin. He will come into your life and he will bring a disruption like no other. And you'll even say, well, why doesn't anything work out for me? Could it be that God is disrupting your plans? You know, the children of Israel, they were living independently of God, and they came up with this idea in Genesis. Even though God says, hey, expand, disperse, they said, no, we're going to stay here. And while we're at, we're going to build a tower that reaches the heavens. You know what God did? He disrupted their plans and confused everything. Friend, he loves you too much to let you succeed in your sin. He will discipline you, and friend, he will bring a disruption as part of cleaning the temple. And so we see the defilement of the temple, we see the cleaning of the temple, and friend, we see the purpose of the temple. Verse 13, he said to them, it is written that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it into a den of robbers, or a den of thieves. Now, friend, you can go to church and pray, but it's not the only place to where you can pray. Now, friend, you can go to a church building to pray, but praise God, it is not the only place you can pray. You can pray in the church building, but friend, the Bible says you are the temple of God. You are that place of prayer. Out of your life, out of my life, daily sweet incense of prayer ought to be rising up. You know, you can pray in traffic. You can pray in your prison cell. You can pray on your deathbed. Hallelujah! You don't have to go to a building to just talk with God. It can be anytime, anywhere. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That continual relationship, communion with God. We ought to be connected to Him. Friend, if you are saved, God has moved into you, never to move out again. But I'll tell you this, He may not move out, but friend, He will clean house. So let us use our bodies, let us use our lives to bring honor and glory to Him.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned utterly.
Sing it again. I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
In your presence, Lord.
And I wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned of thee. How marvelous,
marvelous.
How marvelous.
Mark, and how marvelous. Well, hope you're having yourself just a wonderful Thursday today, friend. If you missed any of today's program, go back and listen to it through our audio archive section at greatnewsradio.org. And when you think of it, you can drop me a note anytime, joey@greatnewsradio.org. That's my email address here at the radio ministry. Well, in the meantime, I'm going to hang up these headphones of mine and enjoy the rest of my Thursday. My Chicago Blackhawks are playing tonight, and, well, they haven't been playing so well, so hopefully they can win tonight. Until next time, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.